It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings. It's another great show with another superstar in the history of music joining us today. We are so thrilled to be able to have a conversation with the founding member of the band Styx, who gave us many great hits throughout the 80s and the 90s, have sold millions of records around the world. The group Styx are on tour right now with REO Speedwagon, and we are going to be talking to James Young, who's also known as JY. Hang around. Styx coming up right here this hour on Border Crossings.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling. Give me all your love. Your hands build me up when I'm sinking. Just touch me and my troubles all fade.
This is Larry London on the phone with me right now. It's a guy that's known as the godfather of Styx. Styx is a rock and roll band that have been around the block a few times. In fact, 45 years worth. And this guy's been there from the very beginning. We welcome James Young, who's also known as JY, to our program, to the worldwide audience here on The Voice of America. Nice to talk to you, JY.
Larry, nice to talk to you.
We welcome you to our area, to our neck of the woods. And, congratulations on what has been a career that, goes back to 1972, I suppose.
Yeah, that's when we signed our first recording agreement, 222-72, and if we make it another 5 years, well, our 50th anniversary will be at 222-22. So we're filled with the twos.
And you guys are from, I guess, from Chicago, is that right?
All the band members originally from the south side of the city, yes.
Uh-huh. And you have toured around the globe so many times. Looking at your bio, the group's portfolio of great hits, along with Lady and Come Sail Away, Babe, Mr. Roboto, Renegade, the list goes on and on. Four consecutive multi-platinum albums, 16 top 40 singles, eight of which went to the top 10. And here's the question. It probably bugs you a little bit. You guys still aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What's going on?
It doesn't bother me at all. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I celebrate, Jan Wenner and Seymour Stein and the guys that put that together originally, they have a bit of a bias. And if I had put it together, I'm certainly a biased individual in what I like and what I don't like. And they've seems like the mindset has opened up in recent years. Friends Cheap Trick from the state of Illinois have gotten in there recently, and and the band Chicago, who I can't say that I know those guys well, but we would celebrate that. And Paul Butterfield's Blues Band,
sure,
I think they've been focused on Chicago the last few years. If we're meant to get there, we get there.
Right.
But, I mean, we've sold, tens of millions, well, probably 40 million records, and played on three continents, as you point out. And we're playing typically in front of, and we will play small performing arts centers with 2,000 seats, or we are on a three-act show tour in the States with ourselves and REO Speedwagon and former Eagles guitarist Don Felder, and we're doing 10,000 people a night, across North America. So, what I care about is being able to get on that stage and have people be in the seats and be applauding and appreciating what we still can do live as a live concert act. And although we do have a new CD out as well, so.
Yes, and I spoke with one of the members of the band Yes recently, and they got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by a fan campaign. It was fans that actually launched this campaign. So maybe we can get the Styx crew, the supporters who've been out there watching you and buying the records for all these years to kind of help push this along. Do you guys have a name for your fans? I know that a lot of bands and artists like to name their fans. Do you guys have something an acronym or a name you call them?
No, I mean, they're the Styx faithful is how I suppose we do refer to them in our sort of, in-house vernacular.
Mm-hmm. And
or Styx super fans, something along those lines. But no, there's, we have, since we have some young people working in our management office that are really internet literate and, Facebook friends and MySpace and whatever the heck everybody does these days. But I know we have at least a million Facebook followers. So, it's all good. And music is the universal language. And I'm having the time of my life after 45 years. We're still able to get out there and do what we do.
Absolutely.
It's a blessing and a joy, and I feel blessed to be able to do it. And if we never get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm still doing what I love to do, and that's what matters most to me.
Babe, I'm leaving. I must be on my way. The time is drawing near. My train is going. I see it in your eyes. smile. I know the feeling we're trying to forget. If only for a while. 'Cause I'll be lonely without you. And I'll need your love to see me through. But please believe me, my heart. Babe, I love you. Ooh, babe.
Now, let me ask you this. Why do you guys keep doing what you're doing? Because you certainly don't need to work as hard as you do every year. You put on over 100 shows every year, and you got your 16th album out. So why work so hard at this point in your lives?
Well, I guess it's because I take great joy from the time I spend on stage, and the travel part of it is for a man that's 6'2" and weighs 225. I'm on a good day. And a little bit more on most of my other days. the airplanes get smaller and smaller. It's the race to the bottom in terms of travel passenger comfort. So the travel is really the work, but the concerts are a joy that I might not do for free, but you know, I love playing live concerts. It's always been my favorite part of what we do. And I never want to give that up because it fulfills me.
Right. And you get to perform for people who love and adore you guys, which is, I mean, that's kind of something that it gets in the system, and it's hard to get rid of it or get over it.
No, it's the most addictive drug I know of.
Yes.
Not that I know about that many, but.
Now, you know, and you're also playing to different generations of fans. You got fans who followed you back in the 70s, and you got their kids and their grandkids and their, you know, of all ages coming out to watch Styx perform.
We were just invited to NASA in Houston, Texas, in the good old U.S. of A. And the guy who's the head of Mission Control, huge Styx fan, his teenage son knows the lyrics to every record maybe better than I do. And we're talking about the third, fourth generation of fan. Just astounding. There was a young woman that came in. Someone had seen her YouTube video online, and she's singing songs off the new record with guitar. So we did a little YouTube video with Tommy and myself and this young lady in Lawrence singing a song, Man in the Wilderness, from her last album, but Radio Silence from her new record. So our music somehow has bridged the generations. I'm knocking on wood right here as loud as I can. Because I don't know, we did some great work. We had a lot of creative battles in the process of doing that work, but I think everything was made that much better because it had to pass the acid test from a variety of different angles in this band, and the music still seems to hold up with young people.
And I'm one of the big fans who has a copy. I'm one of the millions and millions of fans who have a copy of Grand Illusion among my collections of CDs and records. And
that's still our biggest seller and probably will always be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you did touch on the fact that you visited NASA recently. Now, let me ask you about this. I heard that they named one of Pluto's smallest moons after the band.
Yeah, there was an undiscovered fifth moon of Pluto that they didn't become aware of until those deep space probes were actually able to get to the vicinity after 9.5 years, sort of looked around and said, hey, what's this over here? And I heard secondhand that they had a contest to name it, and Vulcan was the biggest vote getter. Styx was the second biggest vote getter. But because of the scientists, Worldwide Astronomical Society or whatever you would call it, they only allow there to be, you know, one celestial body for each given name. So there can't be two Vulcans out there as moons of planets. And we were the second biggest vote getter. So STYX, we are. Although it is the river through Hades in Greek mythology, most other, you know, things up there are named after mythological things from Greek or Roman mythology, kind of the same thing, I guess, just different names. But the so we're part of that, and but we've got a tremendous amount of fans at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and we have kind of an open invitation to be at the next launch when there is, you know, the next launch and this and that and the other thing. So we're they've embraced us, and it's a wonderful thing.
Maybe you can be the first rock band put in space. Who knows? Maybe they'll invite you to suit up and get in one of those capsules and go to the...
Well, I've already been told my brain is you know, in outer space.
So. Outer space, exactly. Well, I got to ask you this question. Are you guys like Trekkies or into sci-fi? Give us something we don't know about Styx, because I know your new album is a concept album. It's a futuristic album, and the whole idea behind it is kind of out there. It's, you know, it's talking about 2033.
So, well, I mean, the true irony of it is, you know, I definitely watched Star Trek as a youngster. I have a mechanical and aerospace engineering degree, which I never really utilized, only because it was, I mean, I really only had two aerospace courses. My father was in the construction business, and he had inherited that business from his father. And I was in line, you know, to be the third generation of Young & Sons Construction in Chicago area where I grew up. But what I really wanted to do was be a rock and roll musician. And my dad wanted all his kids to go to college because he hadn't had the privilege. He saved the money. And when I wanted to quit to just be a musician, he goes, just get your degree. And mechanical engineering seemed like the closest college degree to be in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
And the aerospace was just kind of frosting on the cake for that, and really that engineering, because back in the late 60s, early 70s, I took two aerospace courses, theory of jet propulsion and celestial mechanics.
Wow. Very impressive. You sound very intellectual. You must have been a little bit of a nerd. You wouldn't think of a rock guy studying that kind of stuff. That's heavy.
Well,
that's
I was given a gift for math. I have to say, I don't know where it comes from. You know, obviously somewhere in my genetic line, but not everybody in the family has it. But I was given that gift, and that's really what engineering is about. It's applied mathematics.
Sure.
An uncle who had the same degree. I married my wife's older brother has the same degree from the same place.
I'm sailing away. Set an open course for the virgin sea. 'Cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board, I'm the captain. So climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on.
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1.
A lot of guys in school say, I want to be in a band to get the girls. What was the motivation for you?
I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, I picked up guitar about 2 months after the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in my family, I was starting on piano at age 5, which I was born in 49. So in mid-50s, I was playing piano. Then I picked up clarinet, and my parents bought an organ for my sister, who was really skilled on the keyboards, and she started to, you know, learn to play church organ, what have you. And I picked up my other older sister's clarinet that she played in band. But I had an uncle, after about 2 months after the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan in 64, I touched my first guitar, and my uncle had bought a brand-new classical guitar. But just the smell of it, the feel of it, the sound of it, as I, you know, strummed it, I became enamored of the guitar. And people ask me in hindsight, well, that Beatles performance on Ed Sullivan, which was it, the sound of the band and those guitars, or was it the screaming females? And I said, a delightful combination of both.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I know you were there right at the very beginning. And in the beginning, well, the guy who created the Styx sound on a lot of the records, Dennis DeYoung, he left the group. There's been talk or rumor that there might be a reunion possible. You know, it keeps surfacing. Where is it at right now?
Well, we had a reunion after not working together in 13 years. Back in 1996, we stopped working in 83, and we worked for a year in 96, and everything was great. And then the next year, Dennis said, I'm only going to do 40 shows because I got something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last we've worked with Dennis, and he's making noises again like he wants to. But there's been no formal discussions, and from my perspective, I'm not interested.
Okay, so. And I know that you guys, you know, have replaced him with Tommy Shaw, who's been with the band for a while and left for a little bit to be with Ted Nugent's Damn Yankees and then came back to the band. And so kind of it's been an on and off and on and off. So right now you're on and you have this new album, which is called Mission,
The Mission.
The Mission. So tell me more about the album, The Mission.
Well, Tommy, who doesn't have a mechanical and aerospace engineering degree, which is probably a good thing, but he just thought he was enamored of the idea of the Mars space travel and the moon that they had taken it upon themselves to name this new moon, newly discovered moon of Pluto, STYX. And I think just something, he was sitting around writing one day, and Mission to Mars came out of him as he was noodling with this thing. Today's the day we're going on a mission to Mars. And that, with his collaborator he works with on some outside projects. He had a bluegrass record with Alison Krauss a few years back. This other fellow that he works with, Will Ivankovich, who ultimately produced the record, those guys started writing, and then didn't want to bring it to the band until it felt like the idea was fleshed out. But once they got to a point, they dragged Lawrence Gowan, our new keyboard player, for the last 20 years, not that new, since Dennis left back in 99. And they worked on some more stuff, and then there was a guitar riff I came up with, which ultimately became the opening track, Gone, Gone, Gone. And so I'm included a bit on the writing and certainly on the performing end of everything. And just slowly but surely it formulated into this. And if I'd have said this, you know, I'd say, let's do a concept record about a mission to Mars, everyone would have said, outer space, is that all you can think of? Because, I mean, Come Sail Away was a song that Dennis wrote, but it was really about a sailing ship,
mm-hmm.
and I was the one that suggested, because I probably was the biggest Trekkie of all of them,
mm-hmm.
Going back in the day. I said, well, wouldn't it be great if that sailing ship turned into a starship at the end of the song? And it did, and the irony was that being released, that album Grand Illusion being released in 1977 with that song about ultimately about space travel right into the Star Wars and Close Encounters of the Third Kind all happened in 77, along with Styx's Grand Illusion, Come Sail Away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we became sort of the theme song for outer space at that point in time. But if I had come up with the concept, you know, I don't know if anyone would have bought it, but Tommy had already, and it's really about all of those things. This is a long journey, but it's about the human experiences as you go along and dealing with the emotions and the separation, which as rock musicians, because we tour so much, we deal with separation regularly. And your listeners who are around the globe, I'm sure, are separated from their families, and they can relate to that. I'd recommend this album to all of them. It really is there's, we have one song, Radio Silence, No Communication. It kind of really is about modern life on planet Earth and how to cope with it. So,
well, it's a great, obviously a great idea, very exciting for people who, you know, love Styx music, love outer space, love creativity. It's not the same old, you know, here's another love song album. So this is great. A lot of the music that Styx have become famous for are ballads, many of the different songs, Babe and Lady. Right. So, I mean, is The Mission going to contain a lot of ballads, or what's the balance of the sound on The Mission?
I would say there's no traditional Styx ballads, the fans of Babe and Best of Times might be disappointed by this record.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who like Blue Collar Man and Renegade, and I mean the songs that have that feature Tommy Shaw and myself, leans more in that direction. But there's still an overall Styx sound to it.
Right, and I love the keyboard sound. You guys, you know, you were very innovative back in the day with the keyboard sounds, and now you've got Lawrence Gowan playing keyboards for you guys. And
yeah, I mean, and he's an amazingly skilled individual who was a superstar in Canada but never broke through in the States, and so he's more than capable of performing everything Dennis did and then some. And and we just went back and went for the vintage sounds that we got back in the 70s and tried to go as analog as we could because we think that sweetens and softens the sound but makes it for a more pleasant listening experience. And your listeners will be the judge of that when they go hear the record. So.
Sure, and for a band that's been around as long as you guys have and have all the memories, is there any talk of a book? Because that seems like the thing to do these days. A lot of musicians are writing books about their bands or their lives or their experiences.
Well, I know we have a fellow that's a really great writer that's a friend of Tommy's who's interviewing everybody on the planet about you know, how Styx has influenced their life, and we'll have some, you know, celebrity that happens to show up, or some NFL Hall of Famer like Kevin Green is a big fan of the band. He was inducted in last year.
Mm-hmm.
He has the third most sacks, the most sacks from the linebacker position ever in the NFL.
Wow.
Kevin, a huge fan, grew up in Southern Illinois. There's some kind of biography in the works, but I'm not writing it.
Too busy making music.
Our original bass player has written a book about his life. So.
And you guys have toured with Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon. Currently, you've toured with them in years past, but you know, Kevin Cronin's been on my show before. You've been on the road with Tesla. You performed in Las Vegas at the Venetian and all around the world. Now, tell me about the United We Rock tour. What's going on? What's happening?
Well, this is what the classic rock bands whose peak of their fame was back in the late 70s and early 80s, like Styx and REO Speedwagon and the Eagles. That's when we were all selling out arenas across North America. Well, this is kind of a combination of those three things. This is 1981 revisited in a sense with these acts. But if we go out on our own, we can play 2,000-seaters. But if we put the three bands together, we can actually do a big production with fantastic modern lighting that can, you know, beat the pants off anything we were able to do 30 years ago. And so we're doing a total of 28 shows across the United States with this 3X thing. And it's just, we all get a chance to sort of pretend we're back in our heyday, because there'll be 10,000 people out there and we have a big production in a big venue, and none of us are really able to do that on our own anymore.
Now, I like to ask the guys who were there at the beginning, the pioneers, what you think about today's music. When you listen to today's music, is it inspiring? Are you disappointed? What's your feeling?
Well, it's dramatically different than what inspired me. It's far more electronic, far more processed, far less melodic, far less musical. But it captures the rhythm of the new millennium, I think, in many ways, in ways nothing else could before this. And I don't know, everything changes, and a change is a good thing, I believe. And every now and then I'll hear something that I really think is fantastic. But like the Zac Brown Band, they kind of sound like Skinner reinvented in the mm-hmm. modern age.
Right.
And so it's, you know, I'm not a huge fan of anything that's going on out there, but there's a lot of stuff that I'll hear, you know, there's great song from time to time that'll grab me.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you above.
scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
In the day, you know, you had to be in the studio together to make an album. These days, everybody can phone it in. You can send your part from another part of the planet and put the pieces together, which is kind of, you know, an artificial way of making an album. But looking back, what's been the highlight for you? I hate to ask a cliche question, but and I'm sure it's one you've been asked, you know, hundreds of times. But for the benefit of the audience, from a guy who created the rock sound that we know today with Styx, what do you think, has been the highlight?
Well, I look at our peak year of 1981 was our fourth multi-platinum album in a row, as you point out. Paradise Theater was our first number one album, although it's not our biggest seller, Grand Illusion is. And we did 110 sold-out arenas across North America, then 6 sold-out arenas in Japan, which is the first and only time that incarnation went to Japan, numerous sold-out arenas in Europe. And, that really was, we were at the top of our game at that point. And, after that, there was a left turn on the wheel by Dennis about what he wanted to do creatively. And we changed management, and there was a lot of change that went on, and it kind of didn't go well. And then that broke everything up. And, we, I mean, really, there was always, numerous different opinions about what music we should be doing. There was battles over what song should get to the record. And I think we were just kind of exhausted from those creative battles, and we wanted to go do our thing on our own because we felt like I can do it better, which no one ultimately did. But, you know, they always say that great works of art are created through conflict and struggle and anxiety, what have you. And when Dennis and myself and Tommy were in the room, they're, you know, ranging and writing and battling over what something should sound like, things had to not only pass muster from one mindset, they had pass muster really from five different angles. And the fact that we held each other to a higher standard, I think, in hindsight, it was agony to go through. But in hindsight, our music has withstood the test of time. And I think that's because it had to withstand the test of all those five critical minds from five different angles. So it was. I wouldn't want to go through it again if I didn't have to. But the fact that we went through it and survived it, at least, there's a great body of work there that seems to live on and find new life.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay White, it's been a pleasure to meet you and have you on the show. And on behalf of the worldwide audience, thank you so much for all the great music you have given us and continue to give us. And good luck on the tour, the successful tour. Which is it going around the world? Is this a world tour?
No, just North America. Actually, just the United States.
All right. Well, we're hoping that you can take it around the world. And, I know the troops would love to see you, and the people all around the world who listen and watch the Voice of America would also really love to have Sticks come by. They're part of it.
We appreciate the troops' efforts out there and everything they're doing, making the sacrifices they do to be far away from things that are familiar to them. And we say a prayer for everyone out there. And God bless them all.
Well, thank you, J.Y. The album is called The Mission. We're talking with James Young from Styx, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you and I. 'Cause I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time. Stay with you here tonight. I know you feel these are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. When people if the world just passed us by. headlines read. These are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. I feel so helpless, like a boat against the tide. I wish the summer wind could bring back paradise, but I know.
Wow, what a great show it has been this hour. Thank you to JY for joining us from the group Styx, one of the original founding members back in 1972, 16 albums out, the latest of which is called The Mission. I hope you enjoyed the music and the memories with the band Styx, and we shall return soon with more requests and dedications and other special programs in the future, all a part of listening to Border Crossings. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Thank you, Markel Hawkins, for producing today's show, and thank you for listening to the program. I'll be back again, so please do join me right here on Border Crossings. This is the VOA 1 Music Network. We'll be right back.